And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this when I'm talking about Alabama. I mean to say, I love this state. I'm talking about this show sends its signal like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, so here's the thing. Have you ever just, like, you look at something and you think, well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Now, sometimes stupid is intentional. I think about it. Sometimes the intent is to have what you and I would consider to be a negative outcome. It's crazy, but it's true. Sometimes the intent is to actually do what most people would think would be unacceptable. It's just the way of things. It's like, okay, you're not just stupid. You're like conniving stupid. All right, but then here's the deal. So here's my example of what I mean by, before I get into my here's your sign stuff, here's an example of what I mean by intentional stupid. So I got a story here. This came from Fox, and it came out yesterday. Headline, Soros-backed group partners on abolition school to train activists to eradicate police and prisons. Okay. It says a dark money group that has received millions of dollars from George and Alex Soros' nonprofit network is partnering on a new, quote, abolition school that trains activists to eliminate police and prisons. The organization is called the Community Resource Hub for Safety and Accountability. They've received millions from Soros. And they have now joined forces with a left-wing group called the Philadelphia-based W.E.B. Du Bois Movement School for Abolition and Reconstruction. There's a name. Let me just read to you. Let me just read to you the intentional levels of stupid that are here. Intentional levels, like I choose to be stupid. Here it is. Quote, this is what they say on their website. The W.E.B. Du Bois Movement School for Abolition and a Movement School for Abolition and Reconstruction. Quote, overlapping forces of colonial dispossession and genocide, racialized chattel slavery, and violent patriarchal domination, whose extractive brutality toward humanity and nature alike is quickly rendering our planet uninhabitable. All right, it's a great start. This is going to go swimmingly. It says, a school actually aims to familiarize activists with how to dismantle oppressive institutions they believe extensively contribute to their struggles. Here's the next quote. Stand by. Quote, our students are aspiring revolutionaries and abolitionists of all ages and backgrounds who want to acquire the analytical tools and practical skills necessary to set political change into motion and sustain it through struggle. But we seek above all to build the leadership capacity of organic intellectuals, those most directly impacted by oppressive structures such as policing, mass incarceration, environmental racism, and poverty, and those closest to the struggles to dismantle them. Yeah, okay. So they've gotten millions. I mean, Soros has so much money, but this is evil. This is evil stupid, all right? This is like, we know what we're achieving. They're training radicals with millions of Soros dollars to go do things like, all right, they just had a big event with quite a few attendees in Philadelphia at this W.E.B. Du Bois Movement School for Abolition and Reconstruction, with multiple organizers from areas like Atlanta, where the famous Cop City protests have been going on. Yes. And this community resource hub that gave the money to the W.E.B. Du Bois School considers itself to be an epicenter for progressive activists on defunding the police and abolition and abolishing of law enforcement. Folks, I'm just telling you, stuff like this is out there. And there are times when you look at stuff like that and you think, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But it's intentional stupid. This is like, they know they're stupid. I'm talking about the ones, though, that you look at and they don't even know. It's like, I see stupid people and they don't even know they're stupid. How about this one? New York Attorney General Letitia James. She's a piece of work, man. I mean, what about it when the stupid were talking about it, when they don't even know they're stupid, like they need to wear a sign to identify themselves, and they're doing it with taxpayer dollars. Here's the story. Postmillennial has a story dated yesterday. In response to a legal settlement following the New York City Police Department's response to the 2020 Black Lives Matter riots, the NYPD will be adopting new policies that will include sending fewer officers to protests in order to protect the rights of the activists. Okay, so the people who just trained at the W.E.B. Du Bois Movement School for Abolition and Reconstruction, yeah, they can riot in New York City, and a 44-page agreement that was just filed yesterday in Manhattan federal court could require that the police be restricted from sending enough people to respond, because you don't want to encroach upon the civil liberties of the activists who are burning the place down. It says that the agreement is related. So Letitia James, she sued on behalf of the alleged violations of civil liberties by people who were arrested for rioting. In the wake of the death of George Floyd in 2020, rioters set fire to police cruisers. They hurled objects at officers, and hundreds of officers were injured. But the settlement says that they will create what they call a tiered system of response to protests, requiring the department to deploy fewer officers to public protests, and even banning a technique called kettling, which all that means is it's a tactic where they begin to kind of herd protesters into one location to make it easier to do arrests. Law enforcement, according to the Attorney General, is the problem, not the people who set the city on fire. With that being said,
here's your sign.
That's what I'm talking about. Letitia James should be walking around with a sign around her neck. How about this next one? This one's so easy to pick on. I try not to, but I have to every once in a while point out the fact that the glass ceiling breaking press secretary for the President of the United States, Karine Jean-Pierre, is like a never-ending stream of things that we can, you know, poke fun at. So you may recall this, but earlier this week, I think it was Tuesday, President Biden awarded the Medal of Honor to a hero of the Vietnam War, an aviator who had flown his helicopter into harm's way and rescued people in extreme circumstances. Long overdue, apparently. And I'm glad that Army Captain Larry Taylor, who's now, I believe, in his 80s, received the award. So I got no issues with that. What was weird was, and you may recall this, I saw the video right after it happened. The president was awarding the Medal of Honor. I mean, he's standing there on stage with Captain Taylor, who, you know, put on his uniform out of retirement to come back for the medal. And he's standing up on stage, and Biden is literally right there with him. Biden is breathing on the back of his neck, basically, because he hangs the medal around his neck. And then Biden walked off the stage. Like, just walked off the stage and just left. And you can even see some of the reporters and people in the room looking at him like, what, where's he, what? Biden just left. Now, this is not the first time Biden has been on stage for a Medal of Honor ceremony. There was more to be done. He left Captain Taylor up there by himself. They still had an additional reading of his citation to go through. They had a closing benediction or a prayer to go through. And then the president would walk out with him. And no, the president just left. Well, it was a moment when everybody believes he was just confused. And it says here on this is a Red State article yesterday. So here we go. Karine Jean-Pierre was asked, why did the president walk out? And she gave what is being called a laughable excuse. She says that, you know, after attendees were left confused because of the president leaving the stage and walking out the back of the room, that according to Jean-Pierre, it was, quote, done on purpose. What was the reason? According to her, the president wanted to limit how much he exposed those in attendance after his wife, Jill Biden, had recently tested positive for COVID-19. So let me get this straight. You can be in the room full of people for a while, but if you leave before the prayer, they're safe. I'm just asking, all right? Asking for a friend. So you can be breathing on the back of the 80-year-old Medal of Honor winner's neck, but as long as you're breathing on the back of his neck, it's okay. He's not safe if you stay on stage with him after you breathe on the back of his neck. I know your boomer's on the button right now. And so the bottom line is this. It was fine for him to be there in the first place. It was fine for him to expose everybody in the room if he believes he was at risk. It was okay as long as he didn't expose them at the point of the prayer. And That's where he safely drew the line on purpose.
Here's your side.
I was wanting to push it the whole time. I know on that
you were
story.
For the moment the we started. Oh my gosh! All right, listen, we are going to take a break right now. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. I mean, it's a perfect place to stop. But I got more of these. I mean, you look at it and you think, y'all, stupid people sometimes need to wear a stupid sign because they don't know they're stupid and they need to announce to the world that they actually are. And I got more examples. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. That's what we do around here. We're in number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it, in by the way, full credit to comedian Bill Engvall, I'm calling this Here's Your Sign. So it's a heck of a thing when you see people out there doing stupid stuff, things that we know are stupid, that they know are stupid, and it's intentional stupid. They intend to be stupid in the way they go about things to create results that could, you know, basically impact people's lives. I see that. That would have to be kind of encountered in the level of what I would consider to be evil. And that's like the first story I had about the George Soros-funded organization that trains activists how to be, you know, out there rioting with the police against the police. Okay. That being said, then there's the ones who you look at and go, yeah, they don't know how stupid that is because they don't realize how stupid they are, and they're doing it on taxpayer time. Here's another one. You ready? How about this? Story here came off the Washington Free Beacon. Just 5 days before President Joe Biden entered the White House, his team handed the Washington Post an exclusive story. Biden would keep his campaign promise of following the science by turning the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy into a cabinet-level agency. Wow. On November 30th of 2022, that office then did something rather unscientific. It issued a memo directing more than two dozen federal agencies to do what it called applying indigenous knowledge to research policies and decision-making. Yeah, what does this mean? So this is an article, by the way, the memo is becoming, is sort of surfacing now. The article I'm looking at from the Washington Free Beacon just came out yesterday. And it says, the headline is, "This is extremely dangerous inside the Biden administration's push to swap science for, quote, indigenous knowledge." What is indigenous knowledge? Well, what they're saying here is that they believe it's necessary to look among the over 600 federally recognized Native tribes in the United States and begin leaning on their cultural understandings of things like metaphysics and the physical realm versus the spiritual realm and their cultures and mores in a scientific consideration. Okay. I guarantee you, if we ask them to apply Christian faith to that same Office of Science and Technology Policy, we will be thrown out on our ears and told that we can't possibly think that for a second that they would blend church and state. But they're going to go ahead and recommend strongly that two dozen federal agencies begin to apply indigenous knowledge. Well, how do they do this? Well, so far, by the way, it's considered once a fringe theory has begun making its way into the federal government's policymaking. They're saying right now that in an effort for inclusivity, that you are beginning to see the incorporation of what they refer to as indigenous knowledge. Reference is made, too, by the way, that they're embracing what Canada does. We shouldn't embrace anything the Canadian government does right now. I'm not so sure we should embrace the Canadian government, period. It says Canada began incorporating indigenous knowledge into its policymaking in the latter half of the 20th century, often with counterproductive results, you think? Says a 2006 Canadian academic assessment concluded that the acceptance of the spiritual beliefs as knowledge by governments was dangerous because it could be used to justify any activity, including actions that were environmentally destructive. Okay. So when we're talking about this, you have to recognize that some of those out there in the scientific realm, they don't get it. One of them, a professor of science at University of Southern California named Anna Krylov, says, well, this is extremely dangerous. When I conduct experiments, I need to follow the rules and procedures to think about safety. I have to keep track of what I'm doing. I'm not thinking about chance or dancing. And
here's your sign.
To where we are. I mean, let's make sure we include indigenous knowledge in the policies made by the Office of Science and Technology. Really? Okay. How's that going to, are you incorporating that into AI too? This is wonderful. How about this one? You ready? Decisions that are made, sometimes you look at and think, well, that's stupid. I don't know if you know how stupid that is. It's also destructive. Story here on Red State. California Senate passes a controversial law requiring parents to affirm a child's gender identity or face punishment. I'm just looking at this thinking, you guys are intent upon tearing down the family. California's controversial AB 957, which basically mandates that parents affirm their child's gender identity or be punished, did pass the state Senate Tuesday. This is an article as of yesterday. Radical state senator Scott Wiener, there he is again, Democrat from San Francisco, added an amendment on June 6th that would change the state standard of the well-being of the minor to include a parent's affirmation of the child's gender identity as part of the health, safety, and welfare of the child. Wow. So the bill can make you guilty of child abuse if you refuse to call your son Jane and buy him dresses, the article says. Authorities could take your kid away if you don't bend a knee to their liberal ideology. By changing the definitions, schools and churches and hospitals and other organizations interacting with children could be required to affirm gender transitions regardless of their positions on science or faith. And
here's your sign.
And these people are on taxpayer time, y'all. And they're making laws that there's no way in the world they can be enforced. Here's one more. How about this? Let's save the environment, and we don't care what it costs or whether people get to eat. Well, this makes good sense. Fox News has a story, came out this morning. Joe Biden's administration has now finalized plans for a program it argues will reduce air pollution from heavy-duty engines and vehicles. All you truckers out there, Jeff from Indiana, listen up, bud. Truckers argue the proposed standards is going to crush the supply chain and put the American food supply at risk. The new emission standards, it says, put forth by the Environmental Protection Agency are significantly more stringent. By putting this in place, 95% of the trucking companies that make up the industry of small businesses will be forced to reconsider whether they can stay in business. It will increase the cost of a truck from the average of $180,000 to $200,000 to $480,000. And it will also make it more difficult to get things to market because you're requiring certain emission standards to be on short-term runs, which aren't always feasible. Folks,
here's your sign.
I'm just telling you, it's a heck of a thing, y'all, when people are in charge and they're on taxpayer time and they come up with stuff and you look at it and think, just like Bill Engvall says, that they are walking around stupid, not even knowing they're stupid, and they need to wear a sign that alerts people to the fact that they are actually stupid. And I'm just telling you, here's your sign. This may become a recurring segment that we do periodically because
here's your sign.
I like it. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and I'll head into Dipper number two. I'll decide. I may switch the order up. We might go to age versus infirmity next. But in the meantime, y'all stay tuned. And then at 3:30, Boomer and McQueen has got a sub in. It's going to be Boomer and Lee from Huntsville. So that's coming, too. Plus, we got plenty of your text messages. We'll take them all. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.